Okay, I'm going to talk now about Native Stand, Students Together Against Negative Decisions. And this is a peer educator curriculum that we're developing in partnership with the National Coalition of STD Directors, Indian Health Service, CDC, and Mercer University School of Medicine in Macon, Georgia. So we're piloting it right now. I'll tell you, we're piloting right now, but as we're piloting it, it's 29 sessions. They're an hour and a half each. It's a culturally appropriate curriculum. It's interactive and activity-based, and it's currently being piloted, just to give you the snapshot. So we didn't talk about STD rates earlier, but STD rates are very, very high among Native youth. Their chlamydia rates are about 5 times higher compared to whites. I think gonorrhea was 3 times higher, and syphilis is around the same, but you know, given that the population is small, and we've had a couple outbreak situations in Indian country that are getting under control now. But teen pregnancy rates are very high, substance abuse high. You saw some of the other data on risk behavior. There's not a lot of science-based comprehensive sex education available out there, especially for Native youth. And as I said, we formed this partnership with the National Coalition of STD Directors, and recognizing the need to have accurate, comprehensive sex health education. And through our experience in working in Indian country, really, especially in a residential or boarding school situation where the kids often, they're understaffed and the kids are very, just like any teen, I mean, they're very reliant on each other for answers, whether, you know, they get their information from each other, whether it's right or wrong, and we'd rather it be right than wrong. And so, especially in the residential settings, we really thought peer education was a culturally appropriate, age-appropriate, situation-appropriate strategy. So we began to survey what were the existing curricula out there, to not recreate the wheel. And we looked at many, many, many different curricula, and we came across this one. Somebody recommended this one to me, Students Together Against Negative Decisions. And this was developed, it's peer-based, it's comprehensive, which we didn't, we found a lot of curricula that were just STD or just HIV or just teen pregnancy. We really wanted to look holistically. We found out pretty early on, you don't go into a Native community and say, hi, we're here to talk to you about, STDs among your kids. That's not the way to do that. We want to look at kids, just like we've been talking about, horizontally, the whole package, everything going on in their life. Stand focuses on healthy decision making, so healthy decision, promoting healthy decision making for every aspect in your life, whether it's when to have sex, whether to, have a drink, or whether to date that boy. It was developed for rural youth, which we really liked because a lot of the curricula we looked at were kind of urban focused. It was theoretically based in both the trans-theoretical model and the diffusion of innovation, and it had been evaluated and published in a peer-reviewed journal. So we thought this was a good one to start off with, and we contacted the original developer, Mike Smith, and asked if he was interested in working with us to adapt his curricula for Native youth, and he was very excited. So we formed a work group, and there we are. Formed a work group and that included Native youth and included our esteemed Native elder, Larry Foster, and began to look through the existing curriculum and decide, what was going to work and what wasn't and what needed to be modified or adapted or updated. And for instance, there wasn't very much on dating violence or intimate partner violence in the original one. We thought that was lacking. There wasn't very much on teen suicide, and there probably still needs to be more on teen suicide in the curriculum. And there wasn't very much on basic reproductive health and anatomy, which we found through our focus groups that we really needed to have, that there's a lack of understanding of just basic, functioning. So the curriculum, rather than, one of the things you get into in Indian country when you're developing materials is, there's 560 tribes, different tribes, that have very different cultures, traditions, views, artwork, symbolism, and you can't have 560 different, curricula. So we said, we're just going to make this an intertribal curricula. We're going to draw across from all tribes in all of Indian country. And some of the, I don't want to say elders, but some of the middle-aged people we talked to in Indian country were like, well, that's not going to work for our kids because our kids don't really care, what other tribes are doing. We're interested in learning about our tribe. But when you talk to the youth, they thought it was very cool. They really wanted to learn what the other tribes are doing. And so it really has more of like a Native pride approach versus a tribal-specific pride approach. I'm sorry I didn't bring a copy. I'll show you a few pictures in a minute. It's really it's beautiful. The colors are beautiful. It has beautiful artwork, and it has Native-specific teachings and activities woven through the sessions. And it kind of tries to get at what we were talking about kind of the balance required to walk in those two worlds, that, you know, you want to be a Native youth, and you want to be in tune with your Native teachings, traditions, hopefully language, but you're also a teen, and you text and you watch MTV, and, you know, how do you kind of have them get the best of those both worlds and and move forward. So there are different, there are 29 sessions, and they start off kind of, and the curriculum itself kind of follows a trans-theoretical model that, when you start off the early sessions, you kind of assume the kids are maybe not totally bought in or haven't really worked together, and then you kind of go through a process where they, they form, storm, norm, and perform. But so there's team building, culture and tradition, honoring diversity, respecting differences, which is really about GLBTQ and how they're going to approach that as peer educators. Healthy relationship, self-esteem, healthy relationships, which is really intimate partner violence. Reproductive health, I talked about like anatomy and basics. The risks of early sexual involvement, pregnancy and parenting, STDs, HIV, AIDS, and then it kind of gets into goals and values and decision-making, contraception, drugs and alcohol, negotiation and refusal skills, and then it gets into kind of how to be a peer educator, how you communicate as a peer educator, how you as a peer educator are going to use the stages of change to actually talk to a peer. Unlike many peer curricula, this, at the end of the curriculum, the youth are, they're trained to do one-on-one risk reduction conversations with peers. They're not being trained to give a presentation to a classroom. So it's how you're going to, during a conversation with a peer, use the stages of change to identify where that peer is, to tailor the message you're going to give to that peer. So that's kind of the trajectory of how the curriculum goes. There are three manuals. There's a facilitator manual, a kind of a peer workbook, and then a very thick resource manual, because we wanted to make this very easy for the schools that adopted it, that if they didn't have a copy machine or they didn't have a color copy machine, we wanted them just to be able to hit the ground running. They all have a flash drive actually with all the materials on it instead of a CD-ROM. We're working on a website. It's going to be probably a sub part under the NCSD website, but it won't be like NCSD/NativeStand. It'll be like nativestand.org. It'll have its own name. And we've tinkered around with getting a Facebook and a MySpace page going, but since I can't access those sites from work, I had an intern working on it. I had an intern working on it over the summer, but I don't know where that's going to go just now. I really wanted to have like a MySpace page for the kids from the different schools to be able to come together. And then I really wanted to have a Facebook page for the adult facilitators to kind of talk about what was working and what wasn't. But this is a page, this is kind of every section of the curriculum starts off with a similar page where it talks about the purpose, what stage of change or process is being addressed in that section. This would be the facilitators page, by the way, not the peer educators. What are the learning objectives? And then very clearly, what are you gonna need for the session? Is there any pre-work you have to do? Where are these items in these three manuals? Because we really wanted it to be just, not complicated. We've gotten a lot of good feedback about providing that kind of detail. So these are just a few of the pages out of the curriculum, just to show you how the cultural adaptations worked. I mean, there's a section when we're talking about STDs, we're kind of talking about the role that traditional stories can play in giving a prevention message. And there's four or five different traditional stories from tribes across the country that involve sex or sexuality or healthy decision making around sexuality. A whole thing on kind of menstruation and the power of menstruation and what menstruation really meant traditionally to most Native peoples, and the power that a woman has while she's menstruating, and that's really resonated a lot, not only with the youth but with the older people who have kind of sat around and talked about this. They remember stories that their grandmother told them about, that is a really important time. It's a critical time in a woman's life. And then this is like a dream catcher legend that comes from the Ojibwe tribe. And that precedes like an activity you do with this ball of yarn, where it's like a debriefing activity where you stand in a circle and you throw the yarn and it makes a web. And then you talk about, the strength of the web and the strength of community and what happens if somebody drops, So there's a lot of things like that woven through the curriculum. We're pilot testing it now in we piloted portions of the curriculum with four different Native youth groups along the way and incorporated their changes as we went. And that included a GLBTQ youth group on Navajo, because we really wanted to make sure we were being inclusive of sexual minorities and that all people felt like they could read this curriculum and it applied to them. We didn't want anyone to say, well, that's not for me, that's for those other kids. We reached out and forged a relationship with the Bureau of Indian Education, which, lucky for me, they're headquartered in Albuquerque. So that worked out nicely, and they helped us to identify four schools that that we could work with as pilot sites. And so each of that, we went as work group members, we went to those four schools, made site visits, we conducted a social networking analysis, which was really cool. 5 minutes, okay. And called USINET. I don't know if any of you have used it, but the peers nominate each other, and then you feed it into this software system, and it spits out the cliques in that community. And it shows who's at the middle of that clique, and who overlaps, and who's connected to the most cliques. It's really cool. So we use that to identify, you know, these are the top 20 kids you should offer to be involved. And of course, we did that in the fall, we did that in the spring, and in a lot of cases, the kids didn't come back, or, you know, we ended up having to really go down deep in that list. But it was it was a good idea at the beginning. I don't know if it would work every time. And they really liked it that some of these kids had never, they were shocked when the teacher said, you've been chosen by your peers to be a part of this. They were like, me? You know, they just didn't even know they were viewed that way by their peers. So I know some of the schools are planning on doing it because they really felt like it helped get the kids buy-in. And some of the kids are like, no, you don't want that kid. That kid is trouble. We're like, we don't want the cream of the crop. We don't want the student body. We want the kids themselves to tell us who they want. And even though you think that's a bad seed, you know, the kids smoking pot, ditching class behind the classroom, that's who they're going to for their answers, and that's who we need to include in the group. So that took a little bit of finessing. So 20 students from each school started off. We trained 2 to 4 facilitators from each school at a training in Denver last summer, and then we kicked off the program at each school with we front-loaded those 29 sessions by doing the first 6 as a retreat. So when school started in the fall, each of those schools had kind of like a retreat. So, you know, here we are coming on spring of 2010. We're scheduling right now the post evaluation activities that we have to go to each school again and do a post test. We've decided we're only going to do one post test and not a 30-day post test. It's just for a lot of different reasons, and I'll let you talk to Sonal. Sonal knows all about it. If you have questions about the evaluation, we're going to have focus groups with the kids. And we're going to have a focus group with staff at the school, not including the facilitators, to kind of ask about what they saw. You know, like if it's a dorm staff person or the nurse or the principal, were they aware of the program? Did they see any difference in the kids that they would, you know, attribute to the program? And then we're going to have key informant interviews with each of the facilitators and the school administrator. And then we'll be and there's a post, like a CASI, a computer assisted post test. Then we'll be analyzing the data, both the qualitative data and also fidelity forms. Each of the sites had a form they've been following that just says, these were the things you were supposed to do throughout the session. Did you do them? Did you not do them? If there's a reason why, you know, was anything different? What really worked? What really didn't work? Just so we can kind of get an idea of, did this take a lot longer? Which did the kids really like? Which did they hate? So we'll be analyzing those data and the focus groups and the key informant interviews. We'll be doing a final revision of the curriculum based on the evaluation findings, and then we'll be making the curriculum widely available on the website that has yet to be created. And I just want to show you really quick some pictures of a youth leadership summit we had in the Northwest, where they're piloting some of the activities, just to kind of show you. They're doing a role play. Jay's pregnant. this is the drunk Barbie. Over here, where you have, you know, goggles and then Vaseline and then gloves, and, you know, you're getting drunker and drunker theoretically, and it's like a race thing. And then there's a guided trust walk. And just the kids really enjoyed it. They really bonded over that week. And this is one of the groups we went out to for the kickoff retreat. And this is one school, even before they had their kickoff retreat, they knew they had been selected as peers and homecoming was coming up, so they wanted to have a homecoming float. So this is the Native Stand homecoming float. So they're really jazzed about it. The kids are really psyched to be part of it. Anyway, so can I answer any questions for you about Native Stand? Yes.
So Megan asked
So, Arnold, when will we have those preliminary results? In the fall?
I would think fall.
And the idea of the curriculum is that you would be able to implement it in a variety of settings. We don't just want it to be a school-based curriculum. It could be an after-school thing. It could be a summer work project. It could be a Boys and Girls Club. It could be, you don't have to do it 29 sessions, once a week. You could do like a Saturday thing where you do four. I mean, we want it to be flexible. We want it to meet people's needs.
I mean, you have a number of people who are...
Right. There are two other projects that since, we had already started the pilot projects, two other projects have been funded to use Native Stand on their own. They went and got funding and are going to be implementing a variation of Native Stand. One is the Shoshone-Bannock tribe in Idaho, along with the Oregon Health Sciences University. And they're going to be doing that in conjunction with Tracy's group, Native Lens, that you'll hear about in a minute. So it's going to be the Native Stand curriculum plus a few added parts with a film component, a film and video kind of youth development component. And then also Planned Parenthood of South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota. we're funded to implement a variation of Native Stand with Native women, young Native women in Duluth and Bemidji. And they're still kind of rolling that out. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it's getting out there before it's been evaluated, which scares Sonal. But the thing is, there's just nothing out there. People are so hungry for it. They're like, if you don't care, give it to us. We'll make adaptations later if we have to. So that's what we're doing.
And I know we were interested in using our funding sources, Arizona Department of Health Services, and they only will allow us to use a curriculum that students need.
Yeah, and it's to be a Debbie is, to be a Debbie is not easy. You have to have like a
We're in the process of at least finding additional within the number of some sample size and to do a larger study to possibly be part of the compendium. If not a Debbie, at least Nebby or something. But we're still
a little Debbie, can we get a
little Debbie? Still sort of in the preliminary stages. I mean, the other issue is, it's going to be finding funding for that. And then it's still going to be another couple years to get that.
It's been pretty much a logistical nightmare, trying to deal with four different schools and, the school board and the administration and the staffing issue. It's been really, really, really complicated. And it's hard for me to imagine what it would take to do like a full-fledged larger project and have to deal with, many more schools than that.
So we're going to try, working on getting the numbers, what we would need, and then and figure out next steps of how possible and feasible. And maybe we can collect at least, we'll see what we'll be able to get from the pre-post from the pilots to at least a better understanding of what's actually happening and what the kids are working with.
And the Arizona Department of Health did review the curriculum and approve it for use in Arizona, but that doesn't answer CDC's issue, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, I know they go by what the Arizona Department of Education, because they have a materials review committee.
Yeah,
so I know that.
So the Department of Health approved it, but the Department of Education hasn't.
Yeah, because they go by what the Arizona Department of Education approved. So I know.
Yeah, you need to talk to the Department of
Health. Okay. Because I know they have a meeting coming up, maybe submitting that material to get reviewed.
Well, I hate to submit it at this point. I'd rather wait till we incorporate the changes. But anyway, I want to thank you for your time.